Welcome back to Rift Session 5. Last time, a lot of stuff went down. You guys spent a lot of time in the Spires, a little bit of time in the Hammers, long enough for Callum to get our first on-camera canonical tame of Redtail. I left off, you guys had just synced back up with Buck Winchester. The day, late in the afternoon, early in the evening as it is yours to do with as you please, friends.
How far are we off from curfew?
You got a couple hours. It's once the sun officially sets, you've got till 8 p.m. You're pushing probably late 4, early 5.
How y'all doing?
Doing okay, I think.
Why just okay?
I meant that as like a positive, not a negative. I have recovered a memory.
Well, that's good.
Yes. I don't know what it means or what it was in reference to, but I remember something, and that is refreshing.
I bet. Pretty quiet over here, aside from the little talks I had with the Legion's Light and tried to see if I can ruffle some feathers over at the Ghoul Caller's place. But other than that, nothing too much. But pretty sure they know that I'm a tattletale, or of so to speak. So gotta kind of watch my back around these parts now. But I'm gonna continue to hang out here probably until curfew and then some.
And you did this on purpose?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So you wanted to be known as a bit of a
well, not the second part, but the definite of like trying to ruffle some feathers over there, but not necessarily be hunted down by these folks now, but safe to say I might be, but could not be.
So any potential for recovery with that guild is now gone in the wind?
At least any association with me, probably, but
seems unlikely. We're associated with you now.
Oh yeah. Plus we also, I'm pretty sure they know that we went in there and slaughtered some family members that are long deceased.
Unless they have a 3-strike policy.
Which we used up two of them.
Two. So,
3 strikes and you're out.
Yes.
But I'm planning on kind of hanging out till probably late after curfew, and I can kind of sneak my way back. You guys are more than welcome to hang out here. I'm going to kind of just keep eyes out on stuff and see if any suspicious people kind of leave and start wandering off and messing around with the night swimmen at night. So.
Well, I'm okay to stay and observe till at least curfew, at which point I would like to head back to the guild hall. I myself, and I presume Adelaide, would like to take a look over Redtail. Adelaide is anxious to engage and ask questions, but now is not the time. We will wait to the guild hall.
All right. Is there anybody that is staying with me, or am I solo missioning this?
I don't mind staying, but should I stay since I look like the man we're hunting?
I mean, as long as you kind of... I don't think it would be too much since there will be people inside mostly, you know? And then, you know, we're just kind of looking for people that are going to be roaming out. So I'd say it'd be okay for you to stay, but I don't want to speak for everybody else on their ideas.
You plan to stay in this area?
Yeah, unless I see somebody come out that I'm like, that's a good candidate. And then I'm going to kind of track them and see what's going on. And then kind of just investigate from a distance. And then if anything breaks out, something breaks out.
Maybe. We're on the lookout for this fella that you shot in the leg.
Yes.
I would also like to keep an eye out for that blue-haired individual that was mentioned between you and Carol.
Yes.
You want me to add that to the list of notes to scope out? I don't know if they'd be here, but...
Yes, please.
I can do that.
Because it was around the time you guys mentioned of that implosion, and maybe I know them. Or
could be.
More appropriately, they know me.
It's possible.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, all right. Are you not staying around, or are you heading back as well?
I will stay for now with you. I will take the other side of the street.
All right, cool.
And I'll go. I feel like the plan would be a like a triangle. Are you staying, if Faraday's staying?
Yeah, are you staying outside of curfew, like into curfew?
My plan is to go back.
Before curfew?
Once curfew.
All right, because I'm staying till after curfew.
So we'll
I'll probably do that.
Well, I mean,
he'll fight the guards, of course.
With my both feet on the ground, and then I just stay out of
it. So you don't intend to hide?
No, I'm going to not be like, hey, look at me, I can do what I want. I'm going to be just kind of moving in through alleys. If this person can get around without being noticed, ain't no reason why I can't.
Mm. All right, Sheriff Man.
Well, yeah, we intend on going back at curfew. Faraday, are you staying out past curfew? So because Buck mentioned that he has potentially made additional enemies or further enemies, Callum would like to hang out with the witch. And if allowing, Adelaide would like to hang out with Faraday.
It's easy enough to post up for a while. I mean, if your goal is to stay until curfew starts, if you're spotted, there will be a fine. Along with being escorted to either your place of residence or to jail overnight. So just so that's out there. So you're splitting up into teams.
Yes.
Keeping an eye on the spires as a district, as a whole. At around 6:15, the House of Mercy shutters its doors, making it very obvious. They start to lock things down. They close the big main entry doors. I was going to say that they close the cemetery field doors, but those have already been locked down for the same reason that everything is on curfew. There is a full squad of Inquisitors with a trunk torch that, since Buck has made contact, has not broken eye contact with you. There are four men holding, not aiming, but just holding weapons. And there is an Inquisitor standing with their trunk torch, just keeping an eye on you. And as you've all been talking, they've just kind of taken note of your faces. Just to throw it out there while the discussion's been going on, the group you sent to the House of Mercy that had that conversation and came back and said, thank you for your concern, Mr. Winchester, they didn't leave.
Okay, but the coven is not
the Ghoulcaller's coven is not a church.
Yes.
But given that I think all of you have forgotten, give me a history test and a history test for Buck and T. So Buck, you piece together from the initial bounty for Lao Tzu Shirai. Churches, mausoleums, and graveyards are off limits until the curfew itself is lifted. And the six of you marched into
churches,
a mausoleum and demanded entry and were granted it.
They're
which
off
you
limits.
Shouldn't have been. Yes, there were problems with the ghoul colors. There's problems with corpses. Do not go into the mausoleums until further notice.
Did they said that?
Yes.
When?
On the bounty board.
I remember now.
On the broadsheet that you all read.
I did not remember that at all.
I remember it now. Yes. I don't remember
it's
okay.
On the broadsheet that
okay.
You all read.
Okay.
So, that's to fair. Throw it out there for you, the Inquisitors know that you have broken a regulation and are now waiting for a reason to stop you.
Oh.
So they are watching you... Effectively
but
watching
but they have
a
reason
clock.
Already, so why
they're waiting
they?
For curfew to hit to yes. Get us.
But why they already have
they don't have jurisdiction to grab you for walking in there. You've broken a regulation.
Yeah.
You've broken
a
law.
It's like okay, yeah. You're not wearing your seatbelt, but they're
yes.
Going to pull you over for something
it's
else.
Not,
or your license plate.
It's not something that okay. A church can fine you for. The Legion's Light could arrest you.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Absolutely. If Irida Hakone were to flag down any of the police walking around, you could all be arrested for entering a mausoleum while a curfew is down. The Inquisitors are just waiting for an excuse. I'll give you that much, because they are looking at the nearby inn of the clock tower and waiting for curfew. Because they've just seen you all standing here making no effort to leave.
You know what, this Lao Tzu Shirai business is really just not our cup of tea. I think we should just get on.
Yeah, it's starting to click for all of you as well that Lao Tzu Shirai has been excommunicated from the Ghoul Caller's Coven, also on the bounty sheet. The last place someone that's excommunicated from a church would go is the church that excommunicated them. So if the Ghoul Caller's Coven kicked this person out for being reckless, the last place you're going to find them is the place that kicked them out.
I have a feeling, this is a gut feeling, that they let us into the mausoleum in hopes that we would find something out about Lao Tzu Shirai.
This has been quite a waste of time. Let's
get on. Let's just go.
Okay.
Hey, Faraday. Back at the well, it seemed like you're quite capable with magic. Is that the case?
It's true. I have a little bit of flight powers.
Ooh, can you show me?
Sure.
That's amazing. So you do have magical powers.
My master told me that I'm a summoner. These are some powers that I've learned over time.
Would you be able to teach me how to do it, or were you born with those abilities?
I think it's more of a born with it thing.
Fascinating. I'd love to observe more. Does Bud have abilities too?
Not really. He's very empathetic, which is very different from what I've seen from other Riftkin. And so he seems to care a lot about human beings.
I'll say with that, you guys very hurriedly make your way to the borders of the Spires District, at which point about 200 feet behind you, the Trunk Torts and Inquisitors will kind of peel off and head back. Faraday, as you guys are heading back, you catch a few times of Adelaide just trying to see your actual skin. You've heard the rumors that it was destroyed, but
all of it simultaneously. Yeah. That is a scientific wonder, yeah. And it must be observed. Yeah.
You don't notice anybody following you or trailing behind you or watching your every move. You catch a lot of looks. There are, at a few points in time, there are a few people that are sort of herding some Riftkin from one place to another. Mostly some small pigsty groups being led typically down further south, be towards the Shepherd District. You guys are currently, if you're walking, you'd be cutting through the Theater District, which would send you past Revelers Row, which is a big sort of carnival area. So you guys do start to blend in a little bit more there. as you get into places where there are theaters where people put on plays, you just kind of look like
on a show.
You look like any of the other actors that are walking out. So for Faraday, it's a relief as a lot of the eyes divert from you and start looking at a lot of the more colorful individuals around. That being said, there are some folks that are just very bizarrely dressed. You see a few bits that would probably catch Faraday off guard, especially would be an individual that's easily like 11 feet tall, and they are like 80% legs. But you're noticing like their knees bend remarkably high up on their body. So they seem to be kind of propelling themselves around rather awkwardly. That's just an oddity that Faraday has probably never encountered. It's just somebody walking around. They're also kind of juggling something as you're walking by. There's a individual riding on a very large wheel, kind of like back and forth all along the side. And you see a very ornate red and blue tent. But beyond that, just seems like a place where a lot of people are having a lot of fun. A couple stalls, but otherwise, yeah, there's nothing too crazy on your walk back to the guild hall.
Can I just peep at the stalls where there's exchange happening? Is there any glint of green in the...
No glints of green. It is almost entirely copper.
Okay.
The theater district is pretty much where you go if you're not from the noble quarters. Somewhere to go, somewhere to bring the family. It's not the safest place to be, but it's something to do.
Yeah.
Go to a circus and see what happens.
Okay.
And then I turn to Adelaide and go, what is all this? Look, pointing at the really tall man in the circus as Adelaide is still trying to see what's under my mask.
Look at that! Look at the 11-foot man!
He's crazy! She'll take a look around and seems to be a bunch of performers. Is that not something that you have over in, was it Hakmanoen?
I have never seen anything like this before.
Does your culture do anything for like entertainment?
Yeah. So my culture, we were warriors at one point, until we were attacked. So we did a lot of training, but we have been known to do a lot of storytelling, and I did a lot of reading when I was young.
Oh, so be somewhat close to what you're saying with the stories. They act them out instead of just saying them or imagining them, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's it. It'd probably be pretty interesting for you to see one if you want to go.
Are these stories real stories or are they fake?
I think it depends. Some of them are and some of them aren't.
Our stories from my village are mostly true, or legends.
When you say mostly true, is it like you caught the fish but it was this big and then okay. Yeah, I imagine even the true stories are a bit of a bloated tale, but they're like most stories that are rooted in truth.
Interesting. We should come back here sometime.
Definitely.
Yeah. To throw it out for you, it is McNeil's Circus as you walk by.
This would be a fairly good place, now that you mention it, for someone out of the ordinary to blend in. Say, someone with a bullet wound that's wrapped like a cursed money blood mummy, or a person with flaming blue hair. Should we take a quick look before we pass through? You could even like float up a little bit to get a better view.
It is true. And I float up.
And you get a better view.
And I take notes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
High above view. Some might say a bird's eye view. Faraday, as you fly up, you catch a few odd glances. People are like, that's a really good act. How's he doing that? Are there wires? I don't see any. As you just kind of, oh, and fly back down. You see a rather tall woman just kind of wearing like red tailcoats standing out front of this tent. They've got a large hat that they're waving all around with some coins in it, presumably just doing some crowd work. There are two shorter individuals that appear to be preparing to juggle knives. There are... Oh, man. There's two people that are... they seem to be on the younger side with just bright orange hair, wearing red and blue, like, motley jumpsuits. And there's a big high wire that is outside with two nets underneath that are not going to catch them if they fall. And they are just flinging one another up in the air and doing all kinds of flips. And then there's a small crowd kind of gathered around them. There's someone doing more crowd work, walking amongst people, collecting tips for the performers. Beyond that, there's a pretty diverse crowd that's formed, just kind of keeping an eye on all this. Appears to be a small family centered around a guy probably in his 20s. Got a bunch of younger kids with him. He's kind of herding them all together. There's a well-dressed individual with some pretty faded-looking armor. Looks very out of place. He looks like he's ready for combat, which is not something that most people are in Fletcher's Roost. But they do... There does appear to be some cohesion from a few of the circus performers and those two. They are all wearing, like, similar armbands. Something that you would gather from your brief time in Fletcher's Roost, meaning that they would have a sponsorship. They would have permission to be out performing even this late. That being said, the theater district is kind of lawless in that regard. It would be like trying to arrest the Thieves Guild. You'd be at it all day. If you're like, okay, you're all out past curfew, what are you going to do? You're going to fine 3,000 people? They're just going to leave. So the theater district kind of gets a weird rap for that. But otherwise, yeah, just a big group of very disparate individuals. Given that this is where the Fiddler's Guild is, kind of makes sense that you would see some adventurer-looking types.
Yeah, Bucks. He wouldn't say anything to anybody. He just goes to the guild hall.
Okay.
I'm going to go in the tent.
You're going into the circus?
Yeah.
Okay. The tall woman will hold her hat out to you. Two copper for McNeil's circus. Pleasure. Enjoy the show.
Well, I guess someone should keep an eye on her. Callum will go with and go. Do you want to see the circus, Saturday?
Yes, but I don't have any money.
It's all right. I'll pay for you. Come on.
Okay.
We'll go in to the circus.
Okay. Go ahead and mark off two copper for anybody that's going.
Adelaide's coming in on the guise of, like, this will be kind of fun to check out. Faraday's never seen a circus. She will be looking at the circus, but also watching someone experience a circus for the first time. Mm-hmm. Callum is here on the pretense that the witch beelined it because she saw something. Mm. And so he is...
Mm. He's like, ah, yes, she's following a lead.
Yes.
Mm. Really, she's like, I want to see the circus.
And I don't know what's in there.
Okay.
Could be a circus, could not.
You all funnel in. There's...
Good night.
Relatively large crowd. There's a relatively large crowd. The performers from outside, the trapeze artists most specifically, remain outside. But the knife jugglers come in. They perform a lovely spot of knife juggling. Goes okay. There's the little lad who's up there seems to be very, very confident in his abilities, throwing knives to the younger woman who seems to be a bit nervous but shaky. As they just kind of throw their knives back and forth to one another, they catch them in various ways. The young man at one point catches a dagger in his teeth, which if he was a little bit later would have just punctured through the back of his mouth. So that gets a big roar of the crowd. A bunch of snacks kind of fly everywhere. The children lose their minds. The woman who welcomed you in will head up on stage. You gather this is, in fact, McNeil, who will produce from their top hat, just kind of reach in and pull, and the lot of you that are in there would recognize this to be their rift focus, as they rip a translucent cat from out of their hat, and it lands on the sort of raised platform that they're all on. And they kind of do this weird back and forth as she cracks a whip a few times, and this icy cat is just leaving frozen paw prints on the stage below as they do a lovely lion tamer act, managing to not be attacked for one reason or another. Though it does throw some genuine attempts to hurt her. She just kind of dodges out of the
way. Dang. Hey, you were beelining it for this tent. Is there something you followed or something you saw?
No. We just haven't looked in here.
Okay.
Would you like to go that way? I'll go this way.
You want to... Are we looking for both the figures still?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Should we split up?
I guess so.
Right,
it's just you and me.
Oh, I thought Faraday came in.
No, the other two are over there, but they're enjoying the show.
Oh, yeah.
Faraday is basically being like a child right now, like whoa.
Yeah.
All right, we will meet on the other side.
Okay, and we'll look over on the other side and find a person that stands out. Whoever has the brightest colored shirt or biggest hat, and that's where we'll meet.
Faraday, as you're just kind of enjoying the show. There's a moment where this Frozlinx leaps towards McNeil, and she does a spin and kind of kneels down and holds her hat back up and recaptures the Frozlinx as it's diving towards her. And there's a big burst of confetti from the hat after it lands. And she'll then kind of tip it upside down and put the hat back on.
I just turn to Adelaide and go, I should learn that.
That would be a pretty cool trick. Can practice it later. If you need help.
Perhaps to your relief, perhaps to your disappointment, nobody in the crowd is rather remarkable in any way. This seems to be a place where those who don't have a lot of money come for a night of entertainment for 2 copper, which is relatively affordable, all things considered. If you wanted to be in disguise, this would be a good place to do it, but nobody's giving you any kind of creepy vibes. The only real smell in here is the smell of, like, the candies outside kind of seeping in.
Otherwise,
it seems to be a circus. It's just kind of performing.
Okay.
We'll get to the other side. I found nothing.
Same. Oh, I mean, there's some cool stuff in here and interesting people, but not what we're looking for.
Yes. It is a good show.
Should we just enjoy it? Or do you want to head back?
I'll enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah, as the two knife jugglers kind of finish diving through their flaming rings, the ringmaster for the night, McNeil, will once again kind of topple their hat and then pull out a lovely bouquet of roses that then just begins to shriek and scream and animate and dance all around the stage. Thank you all so much for coming out, but curfew is soon. And our lovely boys in gold have informed us we must be done. Enjoy the rest of your evening. I hope you had a magical time at McNeil's Traveling Circus. And they'll fling their hat around as it kind of flies around, sucking up all the roses back inside. As everybody goes,
aww.
A bunch of kids are like, I want to see the trapeze again.
It was pretty cool, wasn't it, Faraday?
It was very cool. I want to come again.
I'm sure we can find time to do it again. That was very fun.
I need to learn some of these tricks.
Yeah, I think in combination with your floating technique, you could do some pretty good money at the circus.
Just launch off the trapeze on purpose, look like you're going to fall, and then just like, oh!
As long as it's within 30 feet.
Yep.
They just need the slowing momentum.
We're going to launch Faraday from 60. And he's like, oh, no.
All right. Well, should we head back to the guild hall? I think our two grumpy old men are waiting for us.
But otherwise, Buck, what you been up to, bro?
Not a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I would be kind of just hanging out with Sticks. Yeah. I would probably be kind of just, he'd be hanging out down at the... in just the dining hall, he would have asked for a bottle of whiskey and then some food for Sticks. And then he's just sitting there, he's pouring himself just glasses while he's just kind of sitting there. For the first time, his cowboy hat is off the table, or off his head and just on the table. Right side up, because it's bad luck. You don't want to let all the luck run out of the hat. But yeah, he's just been sitting there, and he's just kind of staring at the Lao Tzu Shirai poster. Mm-hmm. just kind of standing there drinking, and he's just thinking.
Yeah, drinking and thinking. The bottle of whiskey, I'd imagine Carol would saunter over to you and just casually start sharing.
Oh, yeah.
The four of your friends will come sauntering in sometime later, probably around like 7:45. It's been a long day. Been out there doing a lot of stuff. You've been in sewers at the bottom of wells. You've been in a fight. But you all make your way back to the guild hall, specifically the speakeasy first. But yeah. Whatever you do now is up to you.
Should we pick a job to do for tomorrow?
I'll let you guys take the wheel on that one. Whatever you guys want to do.
I vote the train.
I'm down to do the train.
You bring the train back?
Yeah.
Safely?
We get a rail wraith. We escort that rail wraith that is in the train
back. That was 15 gold?
That is 15 gold.
Okay.
So that one is meet up with a representative from Sinclair at their rail lines, and they'll lend you the rail wraith.
But it also gives us a connection to train happenings, you know?
If that's something that you guys want to arrange for, your guild hall assistant, Gavrilo, is happy to run off and let everybody know that you're interested.
Yes.
I would like to pen a letter to my dear brother Lachlan and just say that hope all is well. We are about to set off on a small journey to find a broken train. We are also looking to acquire or build one. If he has any leads on a train or a shell or something, or has a good place to start if we needed to get materials to make one, what he would recommend. And that also, I, Adelaide, have found the lab and have seen a Riftkin that has undergone type transfusion, and my research is going along very well.
Yeah, as you pen that letter, Gavrilo will take it and go, you are interested in bringing back Sinclair locomotives? That is what you want to do?
Yes.
Okay. I will bring that letter to Sinclair tonight. I'll see you when I get back, I guess. Do you need anything else while I'm out of there?
Dude, if he brings me a barrel of whiskey, I'll kiss him.
He asked Ezekiel to just refill your glass.
Yeah.
No, I want a barrel.
You want a barrel of whiskey?
Yeah, if you can just keep that in my room, keep it stocked.
I don't mean to be rude, but can you all afford a barrel of whiskey? You have been in town for one night.
I don't know, maybe. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well,
just give me at least a little bottle. At least.
Okay.
If you can do that.
Yeah. You could just buy one from the bar right now and have it. You don't even have to wait.
I just want one in my room for when we get back.
We are back.
Tomorrow, Adelaide.
But you could, like, buy it right now and put it in your room, and then it's there now.
She's not wrong.
Okay, I'm going to go in the other room.
Okay, I will be back with a brown three-piece suit, a hooded coat. I will bring your letter. Do you need anything, Mr. Faraday? Okay. Well, I will go first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Okay, good night.
Thank you, Gavrilo.
Many thanks.
Of course. See you in the morning.
Adelaide and Callum will go. Adelaide wants to see Red Tail, study Red Tail, touch Red Tail, and just for a solid couple hours, just investigate, see how stable he is, and take copious notes.
He's as stable as a 10-pound wildcat can be. Very eager to play, remarkably. The longer he is out, the more excitable he is getting. So he'll start to chase his tail. He climbs the wall. If there's any kind of glint of firelight, he sort of jumps at it. But it's a very bizarre scene in that any light nearby him seems to burn a little bit brighter and just gets a little bit more colorful. But he is also making, like, pretty big talon scratches in anything he's touched.
Yeah. Callum also feels an indescribable sort of attachment to him in a way, where like he's curious and has questions for like T, Faraday, and Buck, but doesn't want to leave him unattended.
So that'll be Adelaide and Callum's evening. Just kind of sketching over. For Adelaide, it is, again, there's no secret to you. Something worked on Redtail that shouldn't have. Like, the process, as far as you understand it, should have killed him.
Very unstable. It is very new.
Yes.
This is... She's unsure mentally if this is, like, a mutant or a successful experiment, but she lied in the letter because her family's so successful that she wants to sound successful.
Oh, I picked up on what you were putting down.
So she is trying to look into it from that perspective at first. Like, is this just a freak occurrence in nature, or was this what she is looking for?
Yeah. I would say, to shed a little light on your speculation, even though Adelaide, your mind's just kind of racing, it is far more likely that it's closer to the mutant spectrum, but more that this thing just got incredibly lucky to survive whatever went down, given that the lab that it presumably was made in is no longer here.
Yeah.
That is fair. So that is those two. Buck, as you continue to down bottles of whiskey, just mark off a silver for each one that you're down, and you're drinking the good stuff.
I will note before that, as Buck's kind of just drinking, he'll lay his Winchester rifle out on the table. He'll flip it to the opposite side to where the like Winchester filigree isn't there. He'll take just one of his steak knives and he'll put like a little tally on the inside. Sling it back over his shoulder, and as Styx is walking him, he'll uncrumple the poster of Lhasa Shirai, and he'll just slam it against the poster board and just leave it there, and he'll go up to his room.
Yeah, Faraday, is there anything you'd like to handle before sleep time?
No, Faraday is looking at the bones that Bud picked up today, and was just chatting with Bud and talked about how brittle these bones are and they won't last long.
They
so
are
don't
bones.
Don't hold on to them for very long.
Yeah. T, you doing anything?
I'm just going to look around. Is it just normal, like, patrons?
Yeah, it's pretty quiet, especially now that you're past curfew.
Yeah.
There's nobody here that doesn't, like, live here, effectively.
Well, I'll watch everyone go back to their rooms and then take one last glance around, and then I'll go into my room. I'll be kind of fiddling with the scarf. Mm-hmm. Like, almost taking it off and then, like, clutching it and just kind of, like, absentmindedly.
Don't do it.
Like, playing with it and thinking about the fight earlier. And I have no...
Your only recollection is...
Coming back.
Is striking up a light behind you. And then coming back to your senses, holding the crushed neck of some kind of wraith.
And then I'm going to empty my pocket. So I still have a little bit of gold. Mm-hmm. I took that stone.
Yeah.
That was like the dim light.
You sure did.
I took
that stone.
The brick.
Uh-huh. Piece of a finger bone. And then, I end up passing out, just kind of twirling the scarf around in my hand.
We see an individual with a heavily scarred face, partially covered in a white mask, one green, fiery eye, standing across a desk from a plump, corporate-looking fellow in an ill-fitting suit. A dimly lit office with a candelabra burning on the wall. Lhasa slams the Winchester cartridge onto his desk, the same cartridge he pulled from his eye score not 8 hours ago. So you took a hit. Good for you, kid. First shot's always the scariest. Lucky for you, it was one of old Bill's guys. An Inquisitor might have actually hit something vital. You would dare mock one of them. You lean too much on your titles, Lau. Learn to lean on your business partners more before you make a mess of everything. You spend too much time with the dead. You forget, you got people counting on you, and your little puppets to do their work long enough to get the job done. Keep it down, Lao. Wouldn't want another mess to clean up. Besides, you need it down south. Ricky's asking for you. Take the iron line. It's quiet these days. Lao Tzu has always stood on ceremony, and hearing their patron referred to so casually makes their blood boil. And Lao, you mess this one up. I'll make sure you clean the sewers after they hang you. As the camera pulls away, as Lao Tzu limps out of an office, we see a sign above the door, Duquesne Locomotives. As our camera pans back to the Signature Six, as the sun rises after a, frankly, a peaceful night, after such an adventurous day, a lot of you, for the most part, are pretty exhausted, but you wake up feeling well rested.
Okay, I'm gonna head out, have some caffeinated beverage.
Okay.
Eat a little bit.
Morning arrives for the Signature Six. Gavrilo is an early riser and has run off.
What a legend.
Leaving both your letter for Sinclair and your intent to do business. He has not yet returned with a three-piece suit and a tailored coat, as getting those
takes more
made
than, yeah,
takes more than, you know, an early morning errand run. But he has his priorities in order.
Buck's an early riser. He'll be downstairs drinking a black coffee, just sitting there waiting for everybody.
This man was drinking himself blind until 11, gets up at 4 a.m., one cup of coffee. Stone cold killer, dude.
Goddamn right.
I'll come out and I'll just... May I join you?
Absolutely.
I'll just start eating some breakfast.
We just waiting for everybody else to come down, and then whatever job you guys decide to do, I'll go ahead and go get it started and see it to its end.
Yes, I put in for the train retrieval.
Sounds easy enough.
Faraday shows up, has a little breakfast as well, mm-hmm. and is ready to go.
Yeah.
Waiting for the
How
two cousins.
Do the Mackenzies sleep in?
Adelaide would get up before Callum, but yeah. Callum has no concept
of, like,
currently.
We gotta go.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will let the three of you converse.
Simmer and stew for a while.
Where are the cousins at?
Not sure.
Hey, one of you want to go grab them so we can get going, or are we just going to kind of sit around here all day and take a day off?
I can go check.
Perfect. Buck will just lean back and continue to sip on his coffee.
Whose door are you knocking on?
Aren't they in the same room?
No.
They're not bunking.
I thought they were.
No.
Callum doesn't have his arm. Well, okay. I'll go to Adelaide's first.
Okay. She will... The door opens relatively quickly. Aye, good morning.
Good morning.
She's ready to go. She's just been going over notes.
You're ready?
Yes, is it time to go now?
Yes.
All right, let me grab my stuff. Where's my...
Your cousin.
He's probably in his room still. All right. I'll be right down.
Sounds good.
She'll promptly grab her things and join everyone else. Good morning. There's no answer.
And then I'll knock a few more times.
Still nothing.
Callum?
You just hear snoring.
Is there a way to unlock the door?
It's not locked.
Oh, it's not locked?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll walk
Kellen's
in.
Kellen's very trusting.
Jeez.
Well, Kellen. It's in our, like, guild hall. Yeah. There's no reason to lock it. Yeah. He doesn't have any possessions.
What are you going to do? Steal my lever?
Yeah, your lever.
What are you going to do? Steal my memories? They're gone.
It's nothing to steal.
All right, well, then I'll just walk in.
He is face down on his bed, and his coat is kind of lifted. He's just in his tighty-whities snoring on the bed.
I'm going to cough really loud.
Oh my God. Okay, wait. Is this your way of saying you're going to leave Callum behind for this mission?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why did you just say that?
Because I really wanted to push it as far as
I'm going to go get a bucket of water and wake Callum up.
Yeah, if your goal is to begin the mission for Sinclair, it's a short enough walk after breakfast. If there's any preparations or anything you'd like to do before, if there's any supplies or anything you guys want to pick up, you just let me know between sessions.
TLDR, just Callum is going to just work with Redtail some more to see if he regains any other memories about Redtail specifically. I'm assuming that that wouldn't be too fortuitous, and after an hour or two, would then go to just chat with Dr. Carroll to get more information on, because he was saying he's going to a tomb and all this stuff and just wants to listen to the tale to see if anything jogs a memory, but it also sounds interesting in general. So that's what they will do for the day, or he will do anyway.
Yeah, it's easy enough to trace the steps of your young ward Gavrilo and make your way to Sinclair Steam Locomotives. Upon arrival to Sinclair Steam Locomotives, an imposing train yard with a frankly rather modest office, given everything you've kind of heard about Sinclair being well furnished and everything. The office itself seems to be just functional. Nothing's too ostentatious or ornamented. But as you kind of step inside, you see a gal seems to be mining the desks, and you see a stamp of the signature 6, implying that your missive has arrived. She'll stand up, kind of smooth herself out, look at all of you. I trust you're here to take on our missing locomotive. Then you are the signature 6, all 4 of you.
It's a bit complicated on the number, but yes, that's the name.
All right. Well, do you need a vessel?
Buck keeps quiet, and he actually steps towards the back of everybody.
Do we need a vessel?
What does that mean?
You guys are the ones that decide to take this. I'll let you take the lead on it.
Have I caught you off guard? Do you need a vessel, a rail wraith, to bring?
Yes.
To retrieve our locomotive. Very well. We will need something as collateral.
For the railway?
Did you want to
and
stay?
And our locomotive.
No, I'll join y'all.
Okay. Let me ask this question instead. If we were to get to where the train is and we didn't have the vessel with us, would we be at all? Is it non-functional to a point that we need that thing to do it at all?
Yes. You would have to pull the train.
That's a bit difficult.
Which, if you're capable of it, is
I don't think Bean is very strong, and I don't think that your little shrimp is much stronger.
No.
I don't know about Bud. I won't make assumptions.
Maybe Faraday.
Could you make the train float?
No.
If you're at a loss for anything else to offer up as collateral, your guild hall and assistant.
Buck will walk forward and he'll put his revolver down
put
the table with
Gavrilo
bullets.
Up for collateral? Is that what you said?
To work off your debt, yes.
I'll just leave. Does this work? He'll hold off his rifle. Or his.
No, something you would come back for.
Oh, trust me, I plan to come back for this.
Oh, so it doesn't have to be like equivalent value.
No, I need someone who can work off your debt if you were to steal our locomotive.
Well, I guess there's...
Can't you just do your cousin?
Yeah, we could put Callum.
There you go.
Maybe we could do Dr. Carroll, too. Honestly, you know, he's kind of a jerk anyway.
Oh, he would never know. He doesn't have memories. You could just convince him.
I mean, that's kind of messed up if you're actually proposing that.
No, that was just a joke.
Okay, well, here's the thing. We have two... Obviously, you noted that we're the Signature Six, but there are only four of us here.
Yes.
The other two are still at the Guild Hall.
They will be our collateral.
Is that agreeable to your terms?
If the train does not arrive within a fortnight, they will be held responsible for your debts.
What if we're gone for like a fortnight and a day, but the train comes back?
If we send word if it's going to take longer...
That is acceptable.
For a fortnight, okay. There.
Very well. The Please Signature Six me, and their guild house shall be held as collateral. Should you not return within a fortnight. Ravensong Station by foot is 1 week both ways.
And that's where the train is at that station?
Correct.
We're doing this shit for 15 gold.
Do you want to do something else?
Nope, let's do this.
You seem like you don't really want to be here.
Yeah, take it or leave it. Let's get on with this.
What would you want to do instead?
I said we move on.
All right.
It's like a little habanero.
Spicy.
Held within is a rail wraith, and she will slam down an iron flask. Open this only when you are within close proximity of the locomotive. Do not open it before. If you lose him, it will be docked from your pay. Are we understood?
Sounds like a fun time.
Very well. Happy travels. Off you go.
Do you want to carry it, Faraday?
Sure.
I'd ask Buck, but I don't think he wants to take it.
I just attach it to, like, my side.
The Signature Six agree to travel south along the Iron Line to Ravensong Station, release the Rail Wraith into the damaged train, and return all within 2 weeks. The journey will be taxing, and the road south is fraught with perils and danger unknown. They set out to purchase equipment and supplies before collecting Dr. Carroll and hitting the road. If you enjoyed this episode of Riftkin, please consider leaving a like on the video to show your support. If you'd like to see more of the Signature Six and follow along as we continue their adventure, why not subscribe to the channel? If you'd like to help us out in other ways, you can follow the links in this video's description box to our Patreon. From there, you can join the discussions in our Discord server, check out the post-shows, still rolling, catch the pre-shows, now airing on Wednesdays, and see extended versions of each episode a week early. Let us know in the comments below what you thought about this session and how you think the Signature Six will handle their journey south. Thanks so much for watching. Catch you next week as the Signature Six gear up and march to Ravensong Station.